Tonight is part two of Countdown to the Messiah's Coming, the prophecy of Daniel's 70 weeks of years. And we will give a brief overview of this prophecy in its context, its historical context in Daniel chapter 9. And then we're going to talk about four questions that deal with the time frame of Daniel's 70 weeks of years. How do we know that they are not literal weeks made up of seven-day increments? And what is this time frame? What is it based on? What kind of calendar is it based on? Is it based upon a 365-day calendar that we use today, the Gregorian calendar? Or is it based on a lunar calendar? 360 days make up a year in a lunar calendar. So we're going to explore these questions because we must answer certain questions from the outset before we actually delve into these four critical passages of one of the most important messianic prophecies in the Bible. This prophecy, probably more than any other prophetic utterance in Scripture, is more crucial to the fields of biblical interpretation, apologetics, and the study of end-time prophecy. In the first place, the prophecy of the 70 weeks has an immense evidential value as a witness to the truth of Scripture. What do I mean by that? Well, this prophecy provides, through its specific historical time frame given, whether this was indeed a predictive prophecy that was fulfilled by the simple fact that it gives the time frame for the Messiah's coming some 500 years beforehand. And so anybody wanting to know the legitimacy of this prophecy can simply read it, study it for himself, and then by the chronological details of it, compare it with history from 500 BC to roughly the first century AD and the coming of Christ to see whether or not the claims laid out here of this prophecy are, in fact, true. As we study this prophecy, the first 69 weeks of years has already been accurately fulfilled, as we will see in this series of the prophecy. And in so proving that it has already been fulfilled, we then have indubitable proof that the Bible is divine rather than human in origin. Daniel's 70 weeks of years, in fact, is nothing less than a mathematical demonstration that the Bible is indeed prophetic, and the author has to be beyond the human author, because no human would have such an accurate foreknowledge of the future that far in advance. For only an omniscient God could have foretold over 500 years before the birth and coming of the Messiah, the very day on which this Messiah would ride into Jerusalem and present himself as Yisrael Chazar, the Prince of Israel. Yet this is precisely what has been done in the prophecy of the 70 weeks of years. I'm convinced, and I think you will be too, that in the predictions of the 70 weeks, we have the indispensable chronological key to all New Testament prophecy. It is the template on which all the other prophecies relating to end-time events are to occur. It is, in fact, the chronological context for the events detailing the last 7 years of the present age, culminating in the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Indeed, our Lord's prophecies, known as the Olivet Discourse, recorded in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, fixes the time of Israel's final and greatest trouble, which happens to fall within the days of Daniel's 70 weeks of years. Matthew 24, 15 through 22, Mark 13, 14 and 20, Luke 21, 24 through 36. And of course, the greater part of the book of Revelation is simply an expansion, a filling in of the details of Daniel's prophecy of the 70 weeks of years. The prophecies of the book of Revelation from chapters 6 to 19 fall within the chronological context and framework as outlined in Daniel's 70th week, which is divided into two equal periods, each extending for 1,260 days, or 42 months, or 3.5 years. And you can find those time periods given in Revelation 11, verses 2 through 3, Revelation 12, 6, and verse 14 of the same chapter, and Revelation 13, 5. To attempt to interpret New Testament prophecy apart from the details of the 70 weeks of Daniel will fail completely. You have to understand end time prophecy within the context of Daniel's 70 weeks of years, specifically the last week, the 70th week, if you want to make sense of what's going on in the Olivet Discourse of Matthew 24 and the end time prophecies given in Revelation chapters 6 through 19. Now, once again, let me familiarize you with the historical context in which the 70 weeks of years are given to Daniel. The 70 weeks was given to Daniel under circumstances which were most remarkable to Israel being in exile in Babylon. If you remember, Daniel and his people had been carried away captive into the land of Babylon during three displacements, the last one and the final one occurring in 586 BC. In that last siege, the armies of King Nebuchadnezzar had utterly destroyed the city of Jerusalem. You can read that account in 2 Chronicles 36, 17 through 21. And according to an earlier prophecy uttered by Jeremiah in chapter 25 of his book, the destruction and depopulation of Judah and Jerusalem was to last for a period of 70 years. The Jewish people would be in exile, held captive in Babylon for a period of 70 years, Jeremiah 25:11. So then the ninth chapter of Daniel opens with a reference to this very prophecy, Daniel 9, verses 1 and 2. The prophet Daniel, now a very aged man, was a royal secretary in the service and courts of the Babylonian kings. And he was studying intently the prophecy of Jeremiah. And he realized that the period of divine judgment and Israel's captivity was nearing its end. And so he fervently prays to the God of Israel for the release of his people to return to Israel and rebuild the city and the temple. Daniel 9, verses 3 through 19. And then, of course, why Daniel is praying this most eloquent and heartfelt prayer, an angelic messenger comes to interrupt him in verses 21 through 23 of Daniel 9. In this message given to Daniel by God through the angel he sent, we have a prediction of the time period given for the first advent of the Messiah. And might I add that it is wholly appropriate that the messenger, the angelic messenger who gave Daniel this message, was Gabriel, the same angel who some 500 years later would announce to the Virgin Mary that she would give birth to the Messiah. Luke 1:26. Thus it was the angel, not Daniel, who first uttered the great prophecy of the 70 weeks. What a powerful testimony to the reality of answered prayer. God sent Gabriel, one of the chief angels in heaven, to personally tell Daniel about the prophecy of the 70 weeks of years. Now, last time we noticed that six events will be accomplished throughout the 70 weeks of years. These six events were listed in Daniel 9, 24. But let's, of course, read again the prophecy in its entirety, covering verses 24 through 27 in Daniel 9. The angel Gabriel tells Daniel, 70 weeks are determined for your people and for your holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until the Messiah the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall, even in troublesome times. And after the 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end of it shall be with a flood, until the end of the war desolations are determined. Then, after that time period of desolations and war, then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. But in the middle of the week, he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering, and on the wing of abomination shall be one who makes desolate, even until the consummation which is determined is poured out on the desolate. Well, with the prophecy now before us, we shall begin the study with a careful analysis of its main features. There are certain defining points and perimeters that the Messiah would come. That would be a time period defined by God, given to Daniel. Let's note 9 important features to this prophecy. First, the entire prophecy has to do with Daniel's people, who would be Israel, the Jewish people, and Daniel's city, that is the nation of Israel and the city of Jerusalem, verse 24. That's important to keep in mind because the church does not fit here. The prophecy does not apply to the church or to the present church age of the New Testament from Pentecost until the rapture. So the who of the prophecy is the Jewish people, the what, Daniel's city, Jerusalem. So the complete time frame for Daniel's 70 weeks applies to and refers to Jerusalem, the nation of Israel, and the Jewish people. It's important to remember that. The church is not mentioned here in the 70 weeks of years. Why? Well, because as we are told by the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 3, the church was a mystery in the era of the Old Testament. It was hidden in times past, Paul said. So the Old Testament prophets did not see a church age. That's why many of the prophecies the prophets made about the first coming and the second coming of the Messiah are always dovetailed together with no 2,000-year interim between it, which would be the church age. That's because they saw both events occurring almost simultaneously. They did not see a parenthesis, a gap between the first and the second comings of the Messiah. One prophecy writer likens the Old Testament prophets as standing on a mountain range and seeing another peak before him, without, of course, giving details about the valley between the two mountain ranges. Likewise, the church is that valley between the two mountain peaks of the first coming of the Messiah and the second coming, which, of course, was not revealed to the prophets of the Old Testament. And so this prophecy exclusively deals with the city of Jerusalem, the Jewish people, and the nation of Israel. A second feature, 2 princes are mentioned here in this prophecy who should not be confused. It's critical that you see that these 2 princes do not refer to the same person. They do not have the same referent. They are 2 different individuals. The first is named Mashiach. That's Hebrew for Messiah, the Anointed One. He is Mashiach Hatzar. That in Hebrew to English means the Prince Messiah. He will be cut off after the 69th week. This Messiah Prince will be cut off. And later on we're going to see that word cut off means he will be subjected to a violent death. Well, obviously that was fulfilled when Jesus was crucified on Good Friday. You can't get any more violent than by dying by way of crucifixion. So there is the Messiah Prince. That's the first prince. He is mentioned in verse 25. Then we have the second prince. he is described as that prince who is to come, or who will come. And notice in verse 26, the second prince will come from the people who shall come and destroy the city and the sanctuary. Well, when did that happen? In 70 AD, when the Romans, under the general Titus, destroyed the city of Jerusalem, killed over 1 million Jewish people, and deported the rest who survived, and Jerusalem was destroyed. In verse 26, this prince who is to come, who will sign a covenant for 1 week, he will come from that people who destroyed the city and the sanctuary, thus proving that this prince will be of Italian-Roman descent. So we have two princes here, and they refer to two different people. A third feature of this prophecy: the entire time period is exactly specified as 70 weeks and no more. So we have a definitive numerical time frame set. And these 70 weeks in this prophecy are further divided into three lesser periods, verses 25 and 27. There are three time periods in which these 70 weeks are divided. Let me give them to you. The first is a period of 7 weeks. That would be a period of 49 years. Each week represents 7 years. After that, there is a period of 62 weeks. And then thirdly, the third time period or division for these 70 weeks is a period of 1 week, or a period of 7 years. So if you total all the 70 weeks of years up, it comes out to 490 years. When the Messiah would be cut off, Daniel says that would be a period, 69 weeks times 7 is 483 years. A fourth feature: the beginning of the whole period of the 70 weeks is fixed to start at the going forth of the commandment to restore and rebuild Jerusalem, verse 25. That's when the 70-week period would begin, when the Jews would be allowed to return to their ancient homeland and rebuild the city. So the starting point for Daniel's prophecy of the 70 weeks would commence when the Jews were allowed by royal decree to return to restore and build Jerusalem. That's the starting point for the 70 weeks. What theologians call the terminus a quo. That means the starting point. Now, the end of the 69th week, 483 years later, 69 times 7, will be marked by the appearance of Messiah as the prince, verses 25 and 26. So the 69 weeks of years will begin with the going forth of the commandment to restore and rebuild Jerusalem, and the terminal point, the ending point of the 69 weeks will occur when the Messiah is cut off. Then we have the beginning of the 70th week and the last week. So, in other words, Daniel is saying at a later time, after the 62 weeks, which follow the first 7 weeks, that is after 69 weeks, Messiah the prince will be cut off, Jerusalem will be destroyed by the people of another prince who is yet to come. Let me say that again. I'm going to have to repeat myself because this is a very detailed prophecy here. Daniel is saying here that at a later time, after 62 weeks, which follow the first 7 weeks, the Messiah will be cut off. So there will be 49 years when the Jews return to rebuild Jerusalem. The first 7 weeks, 49 years, will transpire. And then after that, 62 more weeks will follow. And then the Messiah will appear and be cut off. So that would be a period of 483 years. From the time to return and rebuild Jerusalem to the cutting off the Messiah would be a period of 483 years, 69 weeks. So the sixth feature then is at a later time, after the 62 weeks which follow, the first 7 weeks, that is after 69 weeks, Messiah the prince will be cut off, Jerusalem will be destroyed, by the people of another prince who is to come in the future, verse 26. The seventh feature. After these two important events, we come to the last or 70th week, the beginning of which will be clearly marked by the establishment of a firm covenant or treaty between the coming prince and the Jewish nation, which will last 1 week or 7 years. Verse 27. It's interesting that when discussions were being conducted between the EU, the UN, the United States, Russia, the Arab world, and Israel, they wanted to have a firm provisional peace plan in place, a trial period, if you will. And this number 7 came up, 7-year trial period for such a peace plan. In fact, a Madrid conference in the early 90s, which eventually led to land concessions made by Yitzhak Rabin, in that conference, I believe it was in 1993, they wanted to go further than just agreeing to create a Palestinian state by virtue of Israel giving them land. They wanted to go further than that and establish a solid peace compact between all the parties involved. And the idea was proposed that it should begin and then fully be implemented within a 7-year period. Isn't that quite amazing? So that's kind of like a precursor to this final 7-year false peace treaty between Israel and her Arab enemies. But nonetheless, there will come this coming prince, who we know to be the Antichrist. And he will broker a 7-year covenant between Israel and her enemies. And then an 8th feature of the prophecy of Daniel's 70 weeks is that we are told in verse 27, in the middle of the 70th week, this coming prince will suddenly break his covenant with Israel and consequently cause the animal sacrifices of the Jews to cease. So there will obviously be a temple standing in Jerusalem. And when the Antichrist decides to break this covenant in the middle of the 7-year peace treaty, 3.5 years into it, he will cause the animal sacrifices in the Jewish temple to stop. We know from 2 Thessalonians 2 and Matthew 24, 14 and 15 that the reason why the Antichrist, this coming prince, will cause the animal sacrifices to cease is that he will seek to be worshipped as God above all. So this coming prince will cause the Jewish sacrifices in the temple to be stopped, and then a time of wrath and unprecedented destruction throughout the world will occur to the full end of the 70th week of Daniel. And then, of course, the 9th and last feature of this prophecy is that after the 70 weeks are completed and fulfilled, there will be ushered in a time of unprecedented peace, blessings, and redemption for the nation of Israel, which is given in verse 24. It's interesting that Daniel in this prophecy declares the end before the beginning of the 70 weeks. In other words, he declares the outcome of the 70 weeks before the details of the 70 weeks are given in verses 25 through 27. Because as I've told you before, in verse 24, we have the 6 events that will complete the 70 weeks of years. And we will get into those 4 events in detail a little later on. Well, in approaching the first 69 weeks of Daniel's prophecy, it should be remembered that this period of 69 weeks begins with the going forth of the commandment to restore, rebuild Jerusalem. That ends with the manifestation of Messiah as the Prince of Israel. Now, our purpose will be to determine the nature, length, and duration of the weeks. And in so doing, we hope to discover in history the events which mark their beginning and end, and then see whether the prediction fits the history from a chronological standpoint. Now, whatever position you take on the 69 weeks of years, all interpreters agree that the first 69 weeks have been fulfilled and are past. The controversy comes over with when exactly was the last week, the 70th week of Daniel, fulfilled. And so there are four questions that need to be investigated and summarily answered if we are to understand this prophecy fully. You have to understand what is the measure of time indicated by the 70 weeks of Daniel. What kind of weeks are they? To you and I, the casual English reader, the word week means but one thing. This is a period of 7 days, right? And many interpreters have accepted this rather superficial view of the matter. But that is wrong on the face of it. When you turn to the simple facts concerning these 70 weeks in Daniel, you and I in our study will find no necessity for tampering with the exact language of the text. In fact, the Hebrew phrase 70 weeks is Shavua Shavim, which literally means 70 sevens. And it would be well to read the passage thus, dropping for a moment the word week, which to the English ear always means a week of days. So, the 24th verse of Daniel's 9th chapter simply states in the Hebrew that 70 sevens are determined. And of course, the English translators put weeks in there, because in verse 27 in Hebrew, the text does say, for 1 week will this covenant be signed. So they put weeks in verse 24. But it literally reads 70 sevens are determined for your people. Most important is the fact that in these 70 sevens, we need to determine their length of time. How do we do that? By letting Scripture interpret Scripture. The Jews, in their divinely inspired calendar, had a seven of years as well as a seven of days. Go with me to Genesis 29, 27, and 28, where we have the concept of seven of years. And here we have that a week does not constitute 7 days, but actually constitutes a year. Genesis 29, 27, and 28. Laban is laying out the stipulation for Jacob so that Jacob could wed his daughter Rachel. And so Laban says to Jacob, instructing him in verse 27, fulfill her week, and we will give you this one also, for the service which you will serve with me still another 7 years. Isn't that interesting? Jacob did so and fulfilled her week. So he gave him his daughter, Rachel. Notice here, folks, that a week is equated with a 7 year period. And so this idea of a week representing a week of years is established. There was also the Sabbath week of years. A Sabbath year occurred every 7 years. We find this in the Torah in Leviticus 25, 3 through 4. There, the Jews were free to till and sow the land, but in the seventh year, they were to refrain and allow a Sabbath or a rest to the land. And then, of course, in Leviticus 25, verses 8 and 9, we have what's called the Jubilee year. Remember that? It was predicated upon a multiple of this important weeks of years. 7 Sabbaths of years. And after that period, 49 years, was based the great Jubilee of liberation from slavery, freedom from economic debt, estates returned to their original owners, and so forth. Nothing could be so important to this Jew as this week of years. Now, why is this important? There are several reasons for believing that the 77s of Daniel's prophecy refer to this well-known 7 of years that you've seen in Genesis 29, that I mentioned in Leviticus 25. In the first place, the prophet Daniel had been thinking not only in terms of years rather than days, but also in a definite multiple of sevens, 10 times 7 is 70 years. And Daniel was reading about the prophecy of Jeremiah, and he realized that the 70-year captivity, which Jeremiah foretold and was being fulfilled in Daniel's time, was almost at its end. Second, Daniel also knew that the very length of the Babylonian captivity had been based on Jewish violations of the divine law of the Sabbatic year. God tells us in 2 Chronicles 36:21 that the Jews had been removed from off the land in order that it might rest for 70 years. It should be evident that the Sabbatic year had been violated then for 490 years, or exactly 70 sevens of years. Follow me? How appropriate then that now at the end of the judgment for these violations, the angel Gabriel should be sent to reveal the start of a new era of God's dealing with the Jewish nation, which would extend for the same number of years covered by his violations of the Sabbatic year, namely a cycle of 490 years, or 70 sevens of years, as predicted in Daniel 9:24. Furthermore, I believe the whole context of the prophecy demands that the 70 sevens be understood in terms of years, not literal days. For if we make them sevens of days, the entire period would extend for merely 490 days. And the events covered in these 70 weeks of Daniel are far too involved, far too complex, and far too wide to have been compressed in a brief period of only 490 days, or a little over a year. Considering now that in this brief space of time, the city is to be rebuilt, once more destroyed, to say nothing of the tremendous six events prophesied in verse 24, it becomes clear that such an interpretation of 490 literal days is altogether untenable and not in accord with the context of the prophecy. And it's interesting also that these 70 weeks should be understood in terms of years by another passage found in the book of Daniel, chapter 10, verses 2 and 3. The Hebrew word Shavuah is found there as well. It's only found twice in the book of Daniel, Daniel 9:24 and Daniel 10, 2 through 3, verse 2. In those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant food, no meat or wine came into my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all, till the 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Note here the prophet states that he mourned and fasted, quote, 3 full weeks. Think with me here. It is perfectly obvious that the context demands weeks of days, for Daniel would hardly have fasted 21 years. And significantly, the Hebrew here literally reads 3 sevens of days. So, if in the 9th chapter, the writer intended us to understand that the 70 sevens are composed of days, why did he not use the same form of expression adopted in chapter 10? The answer is quite obvious. That is that Daniel used the Hebrew Shavuah alone when referring to the well-known week of years, a customary usage that we have seen with other scripture passages. But in chapter 10, he speaks of the 3 weeks of fasting. He definitely specifies them as weeks of days in order to distinguish him from the weeks of years in chapter 9, verse 24. Therefore, if the weeks of chapter 9 were composed of days, there would have been no possible reason for changing the Hebrew form in chapter 10. The next question we need to ask, if these weeks are composed of years, what is the length of the year? Is it 365 days, or is it some other time measurement for a year? Because you have 70 weeks of years here. What is the duration for each year? How many days comprise a year? That's the question you need to ask yourself to properly interpret this text. Well, we know that the various calendars of the nations have used years of different lengths, correcting the error by the addition of days from time to time, hence the need for leap years in the calendar. Even our own Gregorian calendar of 365 days to a year is not exact, the shortage being a little less than 1 day in 4 years. So every 4 years, you have adjustment to the calendar. The time of the 70 weeks If it is to be calculated exactly, we must then know the length of the year involved. And unless this information is ascertained by the Word of God, the case is hopeless. But I believe there is conclusive evidence showing us that the prophetic year of Scripture is composed of 360 days or 12 months of 30 days. And of course, the 360 days is based upon the lunar cycle. And this was the type of calendar the Jews used during the composition of Scripture. So, how do we know then that each year making up Daniel's 70 weeks of years is a period of 360 days which comprise a year? Well, we know it first of all from the historical evidence in Scripture. According to the Genesis record, the flood began, we are told, on the 17th day of the second month, Genesis 7, verse 11. And it came to an end 150 days later on the 17th day of the seventh month, Genesis 8, verse 4. Now, this is a period, as you know, of exactly 5 months. 30 times 5 equals 150 days, 30 being the total number of days for the Hebrew month. So then, the earliest known month used in biblical history was evidently 30 days in length, which agrees with the 360-day calendar for a year. And so from the beginning, the time in which the flood occurred, transpired, and then ceased was based upon the lunar calendar, a calendar that states that 360 days make up a full year. The second argument for understanding these years as comprising 360 days is prophetical and is absolutely conclusive because it is based on a measure included within the prophecy of the 70 weeks under discussion. Let me explain. Daniel 9:27, as we have seen, specifically mentions a period of Jewish persecution at the hands of the coming prince, who will make a covenant with that people. Since this persecution begins, we are told, in the middle of the 70th week and continues to the end of the week, the period is obviously 3.5 years. Daniel 7, verses 24 through 25, speaks of the same Roman prince who is to come and the same persecution, fixing the duration as a time, times, and the dividing of the time. In the Hebrew, that means 3.5 times. Revelation 13, 4 through 7 speaks of the same time period where a great political ruler will execute his persecution of the Jewish saints lasting 42 months. Do the math. That's 3.5 years based upon the lunar calendar of 360 days. Furthermore, Revelation 12, 13, and 14 refers to the same time period for this future persecution of the Jews by the Antichrist, stating the duration in the exact terms of Daniel 7, 25, as a time, times, and half a time. A time would be 1 year, times 2 years, and half a time, a half a year. So if you use the 360-day year calendrical computation, you come up with 1,260 days, 3.5 years. And this period is further defined in Revelation 12, 16. It says 1,260 days in that chapter and verse. Thus, we have the same period of time variously stated as 3.5 years, 42 months, or 1,260 days. I think this cinches the fact that the length of the year in the 70 weeks of Daniel's prophecy is fixed by Scripture itself as exactly lasting 360 days. Each year lasts 360 days. Third question that we must ask and answer concerning Daniel's prophecy of the 70 weeks. When did the whole period of the 70 weeks begin? When was the starting point for this prophecy? Well, having just found out that the 70 weeks are weeks of years and that these years are each 360 days, our next objective is to find the historical date when this whole period began. And here we are not left in any doubt from the inspired word of God. For the 25th verse of the prophecy names a definite historical event. Verse 25. Know, therefore, and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. So then, we are given the beginning point for the prophecy of the 70 weeks, when it would historically begin, when the countdown to the Messiah would begin within the chronological time frame of Daniel's 70 weeks of years. It would begin with a commandment or decree allowing the Jews to return to the promised land and rebuild Jerusalem. So then if we can locate this commandment or royal and legal decree, we are then able to fix its date accurately. And once we do that, we shall have the terminus from which the prophecy takes its start. So when did it begin? When was this decree that set in motion the 70 weeks of years to begin? When did that occur? Well, this commandment by a large number of Bible commentators has been variously identified with the decrees issued by Cyrus, Darius, and Artaxerxes, recorded in the book of Ezra. Now, did these fulfill the prophecy to begin the 70 weeks of years? Well, in order for any one of them to qualify, we have to see whether or not, when those decrees were issued, that the rebuilding of the city occurred. When you look at them, we see that these decrees, without any exception, have to do with the rebuilding of the temple, not the city. You can carefully examine this for yourself in Ezra chapter 1, verses 1 through 2, Ezra 4, verses 1 through 5, 11 through 24, Ezra 6, 1 through 5, verses 14 and 15 of that same chapter, Ezra 7, verses 11, 20, and 27. When you look at these verses, you will notice that in every case, the decree concerns the house of the Lord, but not the city of Jerusalem. And yet, Daniel's 70 weeks would begin when the Jews were allowed to return and rebuild the city, not the temple. So then, the decree to return and rebuild not the temple of Jerusalem, but the city, that would set in motion and would be the starting point for the 70 weeks and the countdown to the Messiah's first coming. The very evident motive on the part of some interpreters to find the decree in Ezra was to get the prophecy of the week stated early enough to make the first 69 weeks in near the birth of Christ. Otherwise, it is very doubtful whether anyone would have ever turned to the decrees in Ezra. The early date for this decree is not only unnecessary, but I think it plunges the entire chronology of Daniel's 70 weeks of years into confusion and disharmony with the rest of prophetic scripture. When we look at this to try to determine when the 70 weeks began, under which decree, it is clear there is only one decree in Old Testament history, which, apart from all variances of interpretation, can by any possibility be identified as that very commandment referred to here in Daniel's prophecy. That decree is found in the book of Nehemiah. Let the student read carefully Nehemiah 1, verses 1 through 4, and Nehemiah 2, verses 1 through 8. He will see there several facts. First, that it was a report of the ruined condition of the wall and gates of the city of Jerusalem that aroused the deep concern of Nehemiah, the Jewish cupbearer to King Artaxerxes. Second, that after earnest prayer, Nehemiah boldly petitioned the king that he would send Nehemiah to Judah and to the city of his fathers, graves, that he may build it again. That's very crucial in determining when did the 70 weeks begin. When did the first week begin of the 70 weeks? King Artaxerxes granted Nehemiah's request, and we're told in Nehemiah 2:8, and the king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me. And so Nehemiah was given permission by the royal decree of Artaxerxes to return to the promised land and rebuild the city of Jerusalem. Most important of all, we should notice how carefully Nehemiah, writing by the divine inspiration of the Holy Spirit, records the exact date of this decree. Nehemiah 2:1, he says, in the month Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes, the king. That's interesting, because the decree to go and rebuild Jerusalem, as Daniel prophesied, would be the starting point for Daniel's 70 weeks. And here we have the condition of that prophecy met when King Artaxerxes gave Nehemiah, under his royal decree, permission to return to rebuild the city of Jerusalem. And at that point, the 70 weeks of Daniel began. For those who believe in biblical inspiration and the genuineness of predictive prophecy, it will be no surprise to learn that the date fixed by Nehemiah happens to be one of the best known dates in ancient history. Even the latest edition of the Encyclopedia Britannica, certainly not biased in favor of Bible prophecy, sets the date of Artaxerxes' accession to the throne as 465 BC, and therefore his 20th year would be about 445 to 444 BC. The month was Nisan, as Nehemiah tells us in chapter 2, verse 1 of his book. And since no day is given there, according to Jewish custom, the date would be understood as the first of that month. Hence, in our calendar, the date would be March 14th, 445/444 BC. And here we have, my friends, the beginning of the 70 weeks and countdown to Messiah's coming. Now keep in mind, most calendars of the ancient Near East were regnal. R-E-G-N-A-L. That means pertaining to a king and his accession to the throne to begin his reign. That is, calendars based on the year a king took the throne and ended when his reign was up. In fact, much of the Old Testament historical books are based upon regnal calendars, when the king began his reign and when he ended it. And so the beginning of Daniel's 70 weeks of years began with the decree of Artaxerxes, allowing Nehemiah and his followers, the exiles, to return to their promised land to rebuild the city of Jerusalem. Well, we've run out of time this time, but next time we will answer the fourth question here. When did the first 69 weeks end, and what happened on that date?